Welcome into the Irish NFL show as we continue our look at teams across the league with potential quarterback storylines this offseason. Delighted to have Noel down and join me. Before I bring Noel in, obviously it's announced this morning for those listening to this podcast this afternoon that Peter King has announced his retirement. You may have seen it and picked it up on his Football Morning in America article. Doesn't mean the show isn't going ahead. Peter is coming to Dublin for the show. It was the return of the King. Maybe it's the last hurrah for the King. You can check out tickets on Eventbrite or on our bio. The link to the ticket page is available. It'd be great to see people coming along to wish him well in his career. Noel, Peter King is always really good for people this side of the world in terms of keeping up with the content. So he's always been fantastic on Sky Sports. So it makes for a great event come the end of March.
Absolutely, Brian. I mean, what a chance for the Irish fans here to get it, you know, to get to see Peter King live and in person before he kind of hangs up the coat there for the last time in the NFL. And what an amazing career he's had covering the NFL. So again, for Irish fans to actually be able to go and see him in person and ask him questions and to kind of get that experience before he's finished up is, well, what an amazing opportunity for us over here. So that's great to see, and it should make for a really, really good night when it goes ahead.
I spoke to him last week, and we were actually just talking about the logistics of the show in March, and then we inevitably started talking about football, and we had a bit of a debate about the overtime rule, and he said, let's park that for March on March 28th, and we'll get into it on the night. I'm really looking forward to that event. Well, we're here, we're back to talk about quarterbacks and particular teams, and we're going to kick off this episode with the Tennessee Titans, because Will Levis is a bit of an enigma for me. He played well in some games last season, then he struggled really badly in some games. It didn't seem to be a consistent flow of play. And the Titans are obviously moving on now with a new head coach, an offensive-minded head coach coming in from the Bengals in Callahan. And I imagine they're looking at this. He's the kind of guy that can come in and work miracles with the quarterback at hand and obviously put him on the right stead in terms of his career. He's done a great job with Joe Burrow, as has everybody within the Bengals organization. But I think that was probably within the owner's thinking when they decided he was the right guy to be the head coach. Will Levis had some really strong games last year. We saw his opening game against the Falcons, which he threw three touchdowns to DeAndre Hopkins. And then there were other big games, which is the big win when they came back in Miami. But then there were some really difficult games. And it's hard to know. The Titans seem very bought in on him. But from the outside looking in, I'm not entirely sure. He was a second round pick. A lot of people thought he'd go first round. He fell. It feels a bit like another development year for the Titans. New head coach. Let's see what we got in Will Levis. And obviously, Tannehill looks like he's moving on.
Yeah, no, this definitely is an interesting one. You kind of look at it. I do think Levis probably does start the season as the number one quarterback. Although I wouldn't be surprised if they were to bring in one of those experienced veterans who are out there on the free agent market. Because as you say, he is a rookie. He's had one season. And it was very kind of, there was a lot of flashes. He showed that he has an arm and he's not afraid to make a throw. He does put his body out there a bit, which you kind of get worried in a quarterback. But yeah, it was up and down. You know, he had 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, which on the face of it looks good. But then you take into account 4 of those touchdowns came in his first game. So that leaves 4 over the next games. So it is. Look, he's a rookie. As you say, he slid a little bit. But he came in, he has talent, he has an arm, there is something that can be worked with there. But again, you don't really know who he is. Obviously, the offensive line wasn't great in front of him. That doesn't do him any favours at all. I mean, you talked about Brian Callahan coming in. We see that he's brought his father, Bill Callahan, in to be the offensive line coach, who is obviously someone very, very well regarded. Potentially, the Titans at 7, I think they are, could take one of those really top-notch left tackles in who could work there alongside Skronsky. So maybe that solidifies the line a bit more and gives Levis a bit of a chance. But look, it's going to be interesting because they probably don't have a huge amount of top class weapons for him. So it'll still be tough. But yeah, I think he probably starts in there, but it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of development still to come. There's a lot of work still to be done with this quarterback. And this is a developmental year where the Titans really have to find out, is he the one going forward, or will they need to kind of pivot from there?
Yeah, the owner, Amy Adams, at the end of the season when she was doing her kind of season in press conference and various different outlets of media pieces, was really high on Will Levis. And I remember reading a couple of articles saying she seems to be a lot more confident and comfortable with him as opposed to many people who are watching it and obviously kind of doing their own internal analysis of what they've seen over the course of the season. People even suggested that she's not seeing the true picture of where Will Levis is. But you touched on it there. It's just draft. It feels a bit like it's going to be an offensive heavy type of draft. We touched on there, like in terms of solidifying the offensive line and trying to bring Pairs in to support the quarterback. You got Ryan Carton, who's come in last year, a year in now as GM. You would expect them to have a bit more stability when it comes to picking players within the draft. And obviously, they've had some defensive change, but like, where do we sit in terms of what's the expectation for Will Levis this year? Is it he plays well, the Titans may not have the best of seasons, but they're comfortable going forward, or do we have to see a huge upward turn in terms of even the team's performance and winning? Sometimes a quarterback play can be masked by a soft schedule and an end of season record as opposed to a team's struggle, but yet the quarterback really comes off the charts in terms of how well he plays. Is that what we need to see? You think it's one of those years where they recognise where we're in the division, arguably is there to be won because the Jags are inconsistent, the Texans have had a rebound season, but it's very much around how he plays this year for them going forward.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of it with the quarterback, as you say, things can be masked, you know, quarterback stats, wins and stuff like that kind of get given to a quarterback, losses kind of get put on them. But I think what the Texans just need to do is they need to see this young player develop. They need to see more of those flash plays and less of the inconsistency. They just need to see that this is a kid going forward that they can hang their hat on, that maybe they have their quarterback then they can work with. As I say, maybe you bring in a veteran behind him. Someone like a Joe Flacco could be an interesting one. Someone who's been there, done it, has a ring, who could actually work with this kid and day in, day out and kind of show him the ropes and teach him how to really be a top-class NFL quarterback, because he has the talent, or he has the skill set there. He has the arm. You know, he can move. He's a strong kid. He's not afraid to make a throw. Now it's just on this Titans organization to find out, can they actually mold that in to a long-term starting quarterback that can benefit them? So for me, I don't think wins and losses overly impacts on whether or not he's the quarterback going forward. It's the eye test on him and how he actually develops, and if you can see that maturity and that development kind of increase as this season goes on.
In a division that I imagine come September would be very much deemed to be up for grabs. Texans winning this year, Colts had a good season, they'll have Richardson back. The Jags obviously expect a reaction, having kind of had the skids towards the back end of the season, and it looked like they at one stage they were being named as the number one seed. They don't even make the playoffs. So interesting times ahead, and certainly interesting to see what the Titans do come free agency and the drafts. Moving on to the AFC North and the Cleveland Browns. And the Cleveland Browns that went out on a limb, for, shall we say, for the Deshaun Watson, bearing in mind all the off the field stuff that went on. Obviously, some of that's been cleared up since. And then obviously the massive contract, fully guaranteed, a $220 million contract in which the Browns put on the table to secure the deal and secure the trade from the Texans. And you could argue, really, even for the time, obviously he's had the ban, he came back later in the season before last. But even last year, I mean, there was injury situations as well, but he didn't seem to still hit the ground running. There was some flashes of the old Deshaun Watson. And then they bring in Joe Flacco and he runs the table, essentially, in many ways, gets them to the playoffs. Difficult loss in the wild card game. He's a free agent. We're not entirely sure whether he's going to return. And there's been changes within the offense as well. Like Ken Dorsey's come in, the former Bills offense coordinator. Like, the contract is so heavy, yeah, you find it difficult to see how the Browns can get out from under it. And I'm not entirely sure whether they'd have a substantial amount of offers should they ever consider moving away from Deshaun Watson. It feels like a team that has a lot of great players, both offensively, defensively, slightly in a very difficult situation, and very much, okay, another year on Deshaun Watson. Maybe this is the year where he comes back fully comfortable in terms of the offense in which they're running. He's 100% fit and they see the merits of us, why they did the deal, but certainly didn't see a lot of it last season.
No, look, they haven't. In terms of his actual on play, it's not being terrible. You know, the kind of way he's won games, he was 5-1 last year as a starter, but when you're going to pay a $230 million fully guaranteed contract, you don't want, okay, you need him to be that leader. Because as you say, like that contract, I think his cap hit works out 63, 64 million. That's massive. Like this Browns team are in trouble now in a way. Now, look, we all know we look at teams with the cap and things can be done and changed and moved. The problem they have with this cap hit and this contract is because it's fully guaranteed, it's not as easy to maneuver it and to change it and to kick money down the road. They're kind of dealing with what they have now. And because of that, they will possibly be looking at other players being cut or restructured to try and fit in. So for that reason, they put all the eggs in this Deshaun Watson basket. He needs to get better. He needs to become the quarterback that we saw in Houston, who was this dynamic, taking on the shoulders, kind of quarterback. And that's going to be interesting to see if he can do that. I mean, look, he had an injury last year, surgery on his throwing shoulder. I'm sure it'll be fine. I think he starts throwing again in March. I'm sure everything will be fine. There's not been any red flags to it being at serious. But it was surgery on a throwing shoulder. So it's going to be interesting to see if everything kind of works into place and everything heals as it's supposed to. And you move on from there then, and you just say that, like, this is a good team. They have good players. It'll be interesting to see if they need to make changes to fit in that contract. But they will be dependent on Deshaun Watson to step up and to be a better quarterback than he's been so far. And he does have the talent to do it. Whatever about we say off field and this and that, we know that's been taken care of. On the field, when his head is right and his body is right and he's in the game, he is a very, very good quarterback. And they're going to need him now to actually fulfill that potential of what they've paid for. Because you talk about, you know, you don't know if they can get rid of it, the contractor. They can't. The NFL hate this contract. No other NFL team was happy with the Browns when they made this contract. And the one thing you do notice is, we know when a quarterback signs a big contract, we do see the knock-on effect. The next quarterback kind of gets a step up on that. And the next, nobody's copying this quarterback contract. It hasn't become the one that everyone's set by. The NFL hate this quarterback, or this contract, quarterback contract. Nobody is taking this on. The Browns are stuck with it. So they need to make sure that this quarterback lives up to what they're paying for.
Yeah, and a couple of things on that. I remember when the contract was done, in particular the Ravens owner in Newsom and GM as well, coming out and saying the cost of their commitment, this is a nightmare for us, because obviously they were negotiating pretty with Lamar. Obviously didn't transpire that they gave anything close to that, and yet they got the deal done. And I remember Matthew Stafford after the Super Bowl victory a couple of years ago, when he went and had his shoulders in operation on his throwing arm, suggesting, oh, there's nothing to be concerned about. He was never the same the following season. Obviously, he ended up being out for a large part of that season. It'd be interesting to see what comes of that. And I remember on the show, we have this big argument around what the expectation is for the Browns. And I said, well, they make the playoffs. I felt they would make the playoffs, and they can make a push for in the playoffs. Didn't play out that way. The Texans gave them a bit of a beat down in the end. But Colin said, no, the Browns need to win the Super Bowl, because essentially that's what the contract is worthy of. What's the alternative? A contract like that, for me, he said, only goes one way, and that's that the owners expected that quarterback is going to lead the team to the Super Bowl to justify the contract. You're right around the league were never happy about it, and you're right, no one's followed up on that. So it seems like a very bespoke type contract that we probably won't see again for many a year. We closed out this episode talking about the Jets, and people say, well, Aaron Rodgers is coming back next season, so the Jets are fine. But again, Colin made a point in the offseason, and it kind of played out exactly like that. He said, let's bear in mind, this MetLife turf hasn't been very kind to many a player in terms of injuries, long-term injuries. Nothing's changing there. They're not going to rip turf, and he's going to come back and he's going to play on that field again. And that's a concern in itself. He's another year on. And I'd say the biggest quarterback concern for the Jets then now is who's the backup next year, because the backups this year just didn't work. Wilson obviously is in all likelihood going to be moving on from the Jets. Boyle was brought in and then quickly released. In the end, they were playing with various different quarterbacks in the end, and Trevor Siemian, sorry, closed out the season. If Rodgers gets injured again, they're back to square one. There's been a suggestion over the past week that Sam Howell will inevitably have to move on from the Commanders, because they're going to draft a quarterback, and he fits the ball to go in there and be the backup. But as exciting as it will be for fans of the Jets and for the league to see Rodgers back playing, and can this Jets team fulfill the potential they had last year? Still feels like there's always going to be a concern that another injury is only around the corner.
No, absolutely. This is a 40-year-old quarterback coming back from an Achilles injury. You know, nobody knows how this is going to go. We all know he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He has a Super Bowl ring. We know the talent he has. But at the end of the day, you know, Father Time catches up with everyone. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, first, can he come back fully recovered from this injury? I know last year they were flirting, but are they going to bring him back in? The 2-week window opened, and there was talk he might be brought back, and could he play? Could he not? And he didn't in the end, which would have been ridiculous had they played him. There would have been no need for it, and it just would have been, I don't know, would have been crazy. But we look at this season now, and again, I say he's 40 years of age. He's coming back from a serious injury like that. You know, there will be question marks until we see him out there after multiple games. You can never be 100% sure things will be right. So then, for that reason, then, excuse me, the backup quarterback, as you mentioned, becomes massive, because the Jets can't have another case where your starting quarterback goes down early and your season's done. That's it. You know, you talk about Wilson there. It just hasn't worked for him in you know, New York. There were some issues last year. There were, you know, alleged questions of whether or not he wanted to play at times. And you just feel like that's completely run its course there now, that they do need to bring in a more reliable backup. There are a few guys out there. You mentioned Sam Howell is a big kind of a story going around now at the moment. I mean, he had a season at Washington last year. He put up a few yards and a few touchdowns. I think, you know, he could be a good player. I don't think he had much of an offensive line in Washington, and it was kind of a tough season for him in terms of sacks and pressures on him. You know, he could be a good player in the right situation, and to have him as a backup, if that move were to materialize, if there's any truth to it, could be a decent kind of shout there. But yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Like, what Aaron Rodgers is coming back, you know, we all know he's a confident guy. He seems to have been going well through his recovery. But we will find out next season, you know, if everything is actually where the Jets and Rodgers want it to be.
I just reading, I recall a piece there, I think it was Super Bowl week, in which Woody Johnson, the owner, said, oh, we need to have a backup quarterback. I think he kind of indicated that there was no backup quarterback there last year. And yeah, Robert Saleh, you could feel like he was throwing the bus in many ways, because he had to continuously come out and support Wilson and say, oh, he's the right guy to lead us, you know, once Aaron Rodgers is out injured. And time again, he had to answer questions about inconsistent play over the course of the season. And yet the owner then at the end of the season basically comes out and says, we didn't really have a proper backup. And many Jets fans and many people spoke about it. We spoke about it on the show, why they didn't see the need to go out and make a push last year and try bringing somebody in. It may not necessarily work, but like we saw the Vikings take a chance on Joshua Dobbs. I remember Jets fans arguing, why were we not in the mix for him coming to the deadline on Halloween, the trade deadline? I mean, it surprised me, and it frustrates me, even though I'm not a Jets fan, that they had the players. They were very much in the mix of that stage. Like, they weren't hitting the ground running in terms of victories, but they were very much in the mix in October. And if the right quarterback had came in at the time, they certainly could have made a push to make the playoffs. And you just have to wonder what conversations were going on in Nibs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I think, look, obviously people say, well, Zach Wilson is the number two pick in the draft, only like in 2021, I think, you know, keep him there and see if it works out. But I think it was very, very clear very early on that it just wasn't, for whatever reason, it wasn't going to mesh there. And he wasn't the guy that you even wanted backing up your starter. So why they didn't make a move, I agree with you. You know, they had a team there that potentially could have done something. And they just didn't seem to capitalize on that and get a quarterback in who maybe could have been a bit more consistent or could have at least managed things and kind of kept it on the road. So yeah, I don't think they'll make that mistake again this season, because they can't, because they're in an even more precarious situation now, as we say, with a 40-year-old quarterback coming off such a season-ending injury. They can't leave things to chance like that again, because I've said it before, NFL teams have windows. You know, you can have good players on defense or offense, but, you know, they literally transition to about a 3 or 4 year window where you need to do something with those players before you have to start kind of moving on. So if the Jets want to capitalize on the good players they have there, they have to consider the fact that this starting quarterback potentially may get injured again or may not come back right. So they do need to look at it and see who is out there who can legitimately come in and keep that show on the road if, for whatever reason, Rodgers can't.
NFL tampering period March 11th, which I believe is 2 weeks today. So it'll be interesting to see what the course of action they take. And it very much feels like the owners are saying that they haven't made any changes on the, by and large, on the coaching staff. It's very much Aaron Rodgers coming back next year. Let's run it back and we'll see what we can do this season as opposed to what we did last year, which there was when there was heavy expectations. I imagine there'd be many a Jets fan come the summer in training camp and preseason expecting the big season from the Jets. No, I really appreciate your time as always. Enjoyed this episode, and more to come over the course of the next few weeks.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Really enjoyed it.